I'd like to read a little something here and just comment a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with us. It's found over in the book of Acts. Second chapter of the book of Acts. Reading from the first verse, second chapter. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judah and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is reading from the second book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, I want to comment just a little bit here on some things. Probably you might have heard me say something concerning these things. Maybe in the past we spoke of some of these things, but I'd still like to comment here on these things. First of all, notice that these people had gathered together on a certain day. It was a certain time of the year. It was called Pentecost, or going back to the terms 50, or it was a Jewish celebration that is recording in the Old Testament. And it was a day like as of a jubilee or a jubile time. And at this time, debts were forgiven. And people forgave one another of their indebtedness and the things that they were obligated to as to one another. It was a time of love and fellowship. And because of this, this was a great day to the Jews, a great time of gathering. God picked this day to bring about the day of release, or the time of release, of those who had been bound in the grave under the law, and been bound, as we would say, as to prisoners under the powers of death. So then the jubilee year had significance as to the freedom, spiritually speaking, as to the freedom of that which was to come. All of the things of the Old Testament are types and shadows. They're allegories, and they are figurative toward the things that are spiritually after Calvary. So then we see God picking this day. And as he picked this day, there were people, Jews, remember, that were gathered together from every nation under heaven. And they had come together for this great, wonderful event. And as God began to move, the Spirit of God came down and it sat down upon these people, and they began to speak in a tongue that it was a strange tongue, as you would say to you and I, and yet it was not strange to these people. It was not a conglomeration of confusion, as some people think Pentecost to be. It was not a conglomeration of things in the sense that these people were speaking in some foreign language that the others could not understand. It's very evident here that though they waited before God and tongues of fire came and stood upon each of them, yet when they begin to speak, they begin to speak in the native language of these people that had come from every nation under heaven. And these people were excited and they said, aren't these just one kind of people here? And yet we do hear them speak in our language, all these many different languages. Languages wherein we were born, that's to our childhood. And yet these men being Galileans, they're speaking in the Mede language, the Parthian language, all of these Crete, Arabian, whatever. We hear them speaking Arabian. We hear them speaking in these different languages wherein we were born. Now, see, there is a reason for that. Why did God do that? Why did God do that? It wasn't a conglomeration of confusion and here come some unknown tongues that people didn't understand anything about, even though God does speak in unknown tongues. That is to say, God does inspire you to speak in unknown tongues. And the Bible speaks of us coming together. There is a gift in this. Whereas people speak in tongues, and the Bible said that no one knows what you're saying. In the Spirit, you speak mystery, and that you should remain silent or keep silence in the congregation unless there is an interpreter or unless you pray that you might interpret. For the Bible said if you speak with other tongues, then you ought to pray that you might interpret. But it says not to quench the Spirit, not to stop these people from there, because this is a communication with them and God, between their spirit and God's spirit. Nobody knows what's being said, but it is a spiritual worship. Like Paul said, when we come together, we should prophesy and say things that's edifying to the church. If there's an interpreter, we speak in tongues, let him interpret that people might be edified and do all things as under edification, that the church might be edified. Now he said, don't forbid to speak with tongues. And he said for you not to just burst out and start speaking with tongues, unless you know there's an interpreter there, or unless you're praying that you can interpret, well, you can interpret. Let things be done unto edifying. He said, but don't quench the Spirit. You continue to speak to God. Speak in a low voice and just worship the Lord. And he said, when it comes to tongues, he said, I speak with tongues more than ye all. I speak with tongues more than ye all. I can say that too, because many times when I'm praying, I'll be praying, it might be over in the morning, and I might be praying, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes down, the Holy Ghost begins to speak in tongues. I naturally don't know what he's saying. But in my heart, I'm thrilled and my cup is running over and the wonderful Holy Spirit is just communicating with me. And this unknown tongue comes directly from God to me for a reason. Why would God speak in an unknown tongue to me? See, so that the angels, which are fallen angels, cannot understand the communication. This is a communication directly from God to me. The Bible said the angels desire to look into this and they cannot, because those four fallen angels are cut out of this. And they cannot understand what God is saying to me. And this keeps them from taking advantage of me. And God indoctrinates me, even when I'm asleep on my bed at night. Job said, God moves, the Spirit moves, and these great things happen all around us. So then God speaks to us through the night. And Job said, we don't perceive what he's saying. So then we see that everything is done to edify. He said, in the church, pray that you can prophesy in the church and say things. Because standing up prophesying and being moved by the Spirit, he said, you will say things. He said, I'd rather speak just a few words in the church as to edification. Something that they can understand rather than 10,000 words in an unknown language that they can't understand. He said, you do well because you are edified by the Spirit. But they that are unlearned, they don't know. You know, I used to didn't understand this in my real early ministry until I started ministering in the foreign fields and being in places of different languages. And there they were speaking and sometimes no interpreter. And I thought, my land, I'm occupying the room of the unlearned. I know now what Paul was saying. I don't understand anything they're saying. Though they're having a good time, yet I'm not edified. All right. So then we see that this is for a great reason that God brought to pass what we refer to as Pentecost. What is the ultimatum of this? Let's search it out just for a few minutes. So then these people was not speaking in a conglomeration, as to a conglomeration of confusion, but they were speaking in languages that the people could understand, and it was for the edification of those many people. Now, the question arises, why did God do that? Why did he speak like that? Why did he come speaking in all their languages like that? Why did God do that? Why did that appear as cloven tongues of fire? There's much that we could say about it concerning the revelation of the Son of God, but just a few things here to make you to understand why that this was like that. See, the Jews had said that God is our God. He is not the God of the Arabians. He is not the God of the Parthians, the Elamites, the dwellers at Mesopotamia. He's not their God. He's the God of the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? He speaks our language. He's our God. But all of a sudden, after Calvary, when the blood was spilt, Peter stands up and says that God has given grace to the Gentiles. And now them that were foreign, Paul said, are made fellow heirs of this wonderful salvation. And we're no more alienated by the unbelief and ignorance of our minds. We're not cut off anymore. By grace, Sister Dale sang, that he found me, put his loving arms around me, and he brought me back. See, I was the sheep, the songwriter said, that had gone astray. But he sought, the good shepherd sought, till he found me, put his loving arms around me, and brought me back into the fold. Leaving the 99, going to them that are astray, he went out and he got the lost sheep and he brought the lost sheep back. Our God, my God. See, that is to say, sometimes you would say to someone, like I would Brother Taylor, say, hey, you speak my language. See, all of a sudden, it dawned on the Jewish people that he was the God of all people to that extent. Many of them gave their heart to God and become Christians, which means Christ-like, or called Christians first at Antioch, followers of Christ. Paul said, followers of me as I follow Christ. And all of a sudden, their eyes came open, and 3,000 people in one day was added unto this church, this great, wonderful spiritual church. The move of God, and the veil was rent, as Sister Dale sang again, and he rent the dark veil. And when the veil was rent, as to our intellectual reasoning taken out of the way, that great light penetrating, it eradicated that veil of ignorance, took it away. And when it was taken away, all of a sudden, they realized that God was the God of all people. When Peter was on the housetop, there before the door was opened to the Gentiles, and that God gave him the keys, that is to Peter, to open the doors of the Gentiles, here he was on the housetop. The Bible said he was real hungry. He was very hungry. He would have eaten. And as they made ready, as he waited, he was very hungry. And all of a sudden there was a sheet that came down before him. And he looked, and on the sheet he saw all kinds of things, even unclean things. And a voice said, just raise up, Peter. This is for you to eat. And Peter said, nay, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. This is not going to come into my mouth. And the Lord said, Peter, don't call common and unclean what I've cleansed. See, meaning again, all of these animals and different things that was projected as to letting us see these things as being unclean there in the Old Testament, projected to our mind. These things were not unclean. They were unclean to the extent that they carried a type. But the Bible said all things are sanctified by prayer. These animals were as beasts that represented the Gentile people, that someday the blood would come and cleanse. And when Peter saw this revelation as to this allegoric type and this vision, he suddenly realized that God was saying something spiritual to him. And when the vision went away, the voice had said to Peter, there'll be a man coming to your gate. And when this man comes to the gate, don't you ask a lot of questions. You go with him. It's an ordination of God. So Peter, he goes with him down to Cornelius' house. And here there's a man that's been fasting and praying and giving alms so much that he's come up to God as a memorial up in heaven before God. And God had sent an angel down there and told Cornelius, send to Simon's house over by the seaside. Simon the tanner, I've been there to his house, and I'm sure some of you have. Said, send to his house and call for one named Peter. And then it'll be told you what you should do. Peter, he comes down, he goes with them, he gets down to Cornelius' house, and there he starts preaching the gospel. And while he's preaching the gospel, all of a sudden somebody felt the warm presence of God, and the Holy Ghost began to come on them. And the Holy Ghost fell on them while Peter preached to them. I feel him falling right now on my people. See, falling on them that are listening, falling on them that are seeing, falling on them that are believing. See, through faith, through faith. And so then the Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Bible said when the Holy Ghost fell upon them, that these people began to receive the Holy Ghost. There, they began to receive the Holy Ghost. And wherever the Holy Ghost come, many times they would speak with tongues and they'd begin to prophesy. The inspiration of God down on the inside would just open up their heart and heaven would come down. And so then when Peter saw that these people were filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, here is water. Who can forbid water that these here, these that we're speaking to, I say that they should be baptized as we were baptized. And the Bible said they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And thus the door was opened for the first time to the Gentile people. And later Peter testified in the midst of the brethren, said, brethren, seeing that God has made a difference between me and you, choosing me to open the door to the Gentiles. See, in here also God chose Peter, the keys. Peter had the keys. He opened the door to the Jews. Both Jew and Gentile. Now, that meant that Pentecost was the open door. For Peter had looked at Jesus. And Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And he said, the prophets are some of these people. He said, Peter, who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ. See, and Brother Taylor sings, and he rent the veil in two. Thou art the Christ. I'm looking beyond the veil of your human flesh. I'm not going to know you as a man. I know that you're a man just like I'm a man of bones and flesh. But I see something in you. Never man spake like you speak. Never man took power and authority like you take. There's something beyond the veil that I see, and it's the Christ. And when he said, this is the Christ, Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed the Son to you. That is, education didn't give you this, study didn't give you this. Peter, you didn't get this from intellectual sources. He said, this is a spiritual revelation. This is that invisible force. My God, my Father, the invisible one, hath revealed to you that Christ has come in the flesh. And he said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. We say Peter because his name is called, you know, little stone or whatever it might be. So we say Peter, in that the Bible said, and there shall be a stone hewed out of the mountain. It shall come rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdom of the world. And it grew until it filled all the earth. So we say Peter, the little stone. But the Bible said, who is a rock? It didn't say that Peter was a rock. Peter denied and cursed. He said, upon this rock, that is Peter, you've seen the Christ. He's the rock. Who is the rock but our God? Upon this God, this word, this rock, upon this spirit, upon this revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says to you and I, lift up your head, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory may come in. Because as to the rent veil, as to the separation of your spirit from your body, you're the open door that Christ might come in, the kingdom of God can come in. And he stands at the heart's door, he knocks. As I said, Solomon said, I saw him in the night. I saw him in the night. He was at the door knocking, as to your heart's door. And the drops of the night was in his lock. Knocking, saying, he that openeth unto me, I will come in and I will sup with him, and he with me. And I said the other night, supper time, come home, come home. It's supper time. At that little meeting he had with them, said, my blood is drink indeed. My body is meat indeed. He said, I'm going to drink this with you. And when I drink this with you at this last supper, I won't drink it with you again until I drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom, which was Pentecost when he returned, came into the heart of men, set up the kingdom of God. They accused him of being drunk on new wine, and there he drank with them again in the kingdom of God, which kingdom is within you, that anew. He said concerning Calvary, and they shall come from the east, and they shall come from the west, speaking of the Gentiles, and they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, speaking of David, and the children of Israel, and the children of Israel shall be cast into the outer darkness, whereas they went out of the presence of God until the fullness of the Gentiles should come, into the ignorance of night, blinded in part, until that great, wonderful day of the Thessalonian change. So then we see this great Pentecostal experience. We see this thing that's happening. Now, we understand that this is a great part of the edification of the church. And this is wonderful.
And as to the unknown tongues, it's like a little baby. You know, a little baby's born into the world, and this little fella is laying there, and he's just a kicking his feet. And you say, goo, 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 speak to me. And he says, goo, goo, goo. You know, and that's all he can do. He's speaking in a tongue, but a tongue that you can't understand. But that mother, she knows just exactly what he's saying. You know, I marvel sometimes. I go over here to a store that's nearby Mount Vernon. There's a boy confined to a wheelchair. I've seen something that's I marvel at. The mother that's been with him for years, he's all stooped over. He's crippled. He can't do nothing but just, you know, he just go blah, 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 like that. He can't say anything. He can't express himself in any words. And the mother will stand right there over here waiting on people as they come into the store. And every now and then she'll turn around and she says, he says he's looking for his book. He wants to know about this in the book. Or he says he bought this and it cost him so much. And I look at her and I think, my dear God, how in the world can she know? Because he doesn't say anything. But see, that mother has learned perception. Like the Bible said, and Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. See, a divine perception, and he knows what we're saying. And the Bible says that before we ever speak, he understands. For the Spirit searcheth the heart, understanding our thoughts and our moanings, our groans. And the Bible said, and he intercedes with groans and moans that cannot be uttered as to human utterance. And before we ever speak a call, it comes to pass that God answers us. See, so we see the beautiful thing of these as to communication when it comes to tongues. That is to say, God speaking directly to us. We see the beautiful thing as to the edification, as to the moving of the Spirit and the rain being poured out in the latter times upon the sons and the daughters, the handmaids. I wish we had plenty of time to comment on that. But we see this wonderful thing of God. We see Pentecost. What is Pentecost? I say again, it's not a Babylon. Babylon was back in the days of Babel. It was back in the days when Nimrod married his own mother, the great hunter. It was back in the times when all of this confusion came, when God went down, confounded man's language, saying that if I don't divide them, separate them, that nothing will be hid from them because they'd come together as a unit, saying, lest we be scattered abroad over all the earth, said that we better build us a name. So they were going to build them a name. It was Satan saying, I'll unify, I'll build me a name. I'll build this tower as we say unto heaven. And the Bible said they were building, but God confounded them, and the languages went everywhere. It was a confusion. But see, when Jesus came, restored it, this great pyramid city as to the tower was brought back again. And this time it was the heavenly city, not as the old pyramid that's over in Egypt, as to that which has never been capstoned in, that it shows God rejected it and not allowing Satan to capstone it. Whereas Antichrist someday will come, and that will fit the bill. But see, the thing is, we're waiting for the Lord. And he came, being as Paul, not Paul living, but Christ living. Paul caught up to the third heaven. That is to say, seeing things that couldn't even be uttered by natural man. And here it was, Paul being the all-seeing eye, as the revelation, as the overseer. The veil had been rent in twain. The law folded up and laid away. Now a new era had come in. And here was Paul. We could comment much on that. But here was Paul. And then the church ages started. So then here was Paul, capstoning the great pyramid city, saying, it's not me that liveth, but Christ. I'm the wise master builder. And Abraham, the father of the faithful, is looking for this great city that Christ built, in that he chose the apostolic foundation as to the 12th saying, and other foundations can no man lay, and let every man take heed how he built thereupon. And so then choosing Paul as Christ himself with the revelation to capstone that great pyramid city. Here is New Jerusalem. Here is Christ, the prism stone, the refracted light, the church ages. Here is the sevenfold light in the end time. Here's the door open in heaven as Peter saw it. And here we are as the church. And a voice is saying, come up hither. So then, we can see that what the Lord has done at Pentecost is to bring in everyone, to give grace to all, even unto the Gentiles. So he hath given grace to all. He hath spoken their language. And now lively stones, as to a holy priesthood, are being built up as walls of that city, as a bride with a light most precious, descending as out of the Spirit, as out of heaven, and being seen with this great understanding, which is called the light most precious. So then we see this just before the coming of the Ancient of Days of that great light. So we know that Pentecost has a great significance. And that is where God receives all of the world. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And His Spirit now by grace as to the blood on the seat of atonement of the mercy seat makes it possible for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon all flesh, that we can feel His wooing and love, and surely the love of God draws us to repentance, which means that if we call upon His name, we have a chance to be saved. As it was said to Paul, said, Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And so it was, the great mastermind, the one that had learned at Gamaliel's feet, the one that had come so far that now even the great light of heaven wasn't hid from him when he was struck down on the way to Damascus as to persecute the people. But see, here it was. Go down to the street called Straight. And all of a sudden, here comes the man. The Spirit said, and he will tell you what to do. As to Cornelius, Peter will tell you what to do. And folks, it's the same today. We're living in that great, wonderful moment where God is the God of all people and not the God of confusion. The old Tower of Babel is gone. As to the confusion, to separate, you see all the people of the world coming back together in one language now. And the church coming together to build this great pyramid city that will glorify God. Not to make the people a name, or Satan as working in the people to make himself a name, to be the head or the capstone of that city, as it was with Babel, but to make Christ Jesus a name. And as he said to Israel, I've chosen you not because you're the biggest people, the greatest people, nor the people that really honor me like you should, but rather to make myself a name. I've chosen you to make myself a name, as by the great wonders, signs, miracles, the smoke on the mountain, the fire on the mountain, as in the days of Moses when he said to Pharaoh, and thus, and so it was. So then God is looking for you today to make himself a name. The dispute is over the body. You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. The foundations are the teachings of the apostolic leaders and those as to 3,000 beginning at the church there of Pentecost. It has continued to grow even unto you and I. And now we're back to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And any time the revelation comes, it means the end of the world. I know it's hard for you to say because that's the rent veil. It's the end of the world. And everything now is right there at the coming of the Lord. We can't comment on it, but remember, I'm telling you, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Let's stand together. May the Lord bless you. As I sometimes say, up here, especially under these lights, this water comes out as fast as I put it in. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. We've got a lot of work before us, day and night. Paul said, and the cares of the churches fall on our shoulders. Many, many things that we have to do. You can be a part of it, and you can stand before God and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Thou hast been faithful over many little things or a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Let's sing together, can we? One more time together. I love Him. Can you sing with me?
I love Him.
Oh, because that He first loved me. And He salvation on Calvary.